This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Philip C. and joining me in the studio today is Wong Shaoning and Shazana Mokhtar. Let's talk about Pakistan, because this country has been thrown into political turmoil after members of the ruling party led by Prime Minister Imran Khan blocked a no-confidence vote called by opposition MPs on Sunday and subsequently moved to dissolve parliament to pave the way for elections in 90 days.
Now, the Prime Minister was widely expected to lose the confidence vote after a number of government coalition partners defected to the opposition. However, Imran Khan claims the vote was part of a US-led conspiracy to remove him. It should be noted the US has denied these allegations. Now, furious opposition MPs have filed a petition to the Supreme Court to rule on whether the move to block the vote was constitutional, and the court is continuing deliberations today.
Meanwhile, like Sri Lanka, Pakistan is facing economic pressures as a result of global inflation, with double-digit numbers driving up the cost of goods. So given the political and economic headwinds, can Imran Khan withstand the pressures to stay in power?
For a better understanding of what's happening in Pakistan, we speak to Dr. Zahid Ahmed, research fellow at Deakin University. Good morning, Doctor. The Supreme Court is hearing whether the move to block the no-confidence vote was constitutional. What factors do you think will go into its final decision?
Yes, thank you very much for the invitation. I think the Supreme Court is going to look at not just a certain part of the constitution which the Imran Khan party used to not go for the vote of no confidence in the parliament, but they will look at the constitution overall. There are other clauses, and the one clause specifically says that if there is going to be a parliamentary session, then it should allow to go on with the voting process. And this has not happened in this case, and I think it's highly unlikely that Supreme Court is going to give a decision in the favor of Imran Khan's government, and perhaps they'll go for the no for confidence vote still in the parliament.
Zahid, Imran Khan survived a confidence vote that he called for last year over internal party discord, but this time around he was widely expected to lose. So what accounts for this reversal of political fortunes?
You know, there are many reasons. You know, one of the reasons is that one of his party's chosen leaders in the biggest province of Pakistan, which is Punjab, and the chief minister there has not been a favorite even of Imran Khan's own party workers. And they were requesting Imran Khan to replace him. For whatever personal reasons, he never really replaced Buzdar as the chief minister of Punjab. So there was always this opposition. And with increasing inflation, and with other sort of authoritarian measures, the Imran Khan's government lost popularity and it began losing those members. Horse trading is a common sort of feature of, you can say, South Asian politics. There are party members who change their loyalties, and this has happened again. Many would say that they have received maybe millions of dollars from other parties to change their alliances or loyalties in this case. So I think the writing was already on the wall for Imran Khan that he was going to lose the vote for no confidence. And he had no other better options, I think, to go for this one and to call for early elections in 3 months' time.
So, Dr. Zahid, how does this then help Imran Khan? Is this a maneuver for him to remain in power? I mean, is this indicative of the weakness of the opposition?
No, not really. I think the weakness in this case is of the judiciary, you may say. So we have to ultimately depend on now what the Supreme Court of Pakistan will make a decision. And if they stand on their ground, I think Imran Khan can very much even face persecution for breaking the law in this case. And also the president of Pakistan, who has dissolved the assemblies on this occasion to go for early elections. I think the tactic or the game here, the ruling party or the previous ruling party, I must say now, has tried to play is to go for an early election, because losing the vote of no confidence could have been very embarrassing for them, considering that even until the last moment, they were making these claims that they were still going to win the vote for no confidence. And the opposition's numbers had actually crossed 200, and you only need 172 in the parliament to run the government.
In the meantime, right, Dr. Zahid, there's a lot of talk about the power of military or in Pakistan and the role they play. So can you tell us what's their position with regards to Imran Khan? Because there is talks that the military doesn't favour him anymore.
Yes, so there is this talk, but at the same time, if you look at the key evidence that Imran Khan is using against opposition parties and the evidences of foreign interference in Pakistan's domestic politics, and he has blamed other opposition parties for being supported by the U.S. in this case. So he actually went public. He was quite blunt in terms of blaming the U.S. for orchestrating all this move against his party. And that letter, when discussed in the National Security Committee, was actually, in a way, it received the endorsement of all military, heads of armed forces, you can say, in Pakistan. So although the military, or you can say the army on this occasion, is keeping a kind of neutral position, but I would say that when that issue of that letter that came from Pakistan's ambassador to the U.S., to the government in Pakistan, when that letter will be discussed in the Supreme Court, the military will have to have a position then. And of course, military will have to have representation in the Supreme Court then, while the whole hearing will happen. And ultimately, it will have to take a position. So it won't be able to stay neutral then. So they will have to say whether those threats were credible against Imran Khan's government or not.
And Doctor, you know, many of us here in Malaysia know Imran Khan is a very popular cricketer just before he became a prime minister. In your assessment, right, how competent has he been as an administrator, right, in implementing policies, especially with regards to how the country navigated the pandemic?
You know, as far as the handling of the pandemic is concerned, I think he deserves some credit. He took many bold decisions. His government took many bold decisions because the crises were sudden in many ways. For example, Pakistani pilgrims who went to Iran, when they came back, they were tested positive. Many of the Pakistani workers who work in the Gulf countries, they were deported, and when they came back, they were tested positive as well. And the country did not have enough kind of infrastructure to handle the crisis at that stage. So the credit goes to him that the government invested, or you can say redirected, sufficient amount of funds towards the health sector to handle the pandemic. And if you compare the situation in Pakistan with any of other regional countries or even, you know, developed countries, Pakistan's handling of the pandemic has been even appreciated by the World Health Organization. So he deserves some credit for that. As far as other bigger problems are concerned, I think economy is one, and against his desires, he went to the IMF to get more loans. And with those loans, of course, you know, part and parcel of that is the rising inflation in Pakistan, rising tax rates in Pakistan. All of that has actually gone against his popularity. And of course, people who voted for him, many of them have now these grievances because people are struggling, you know, because of this inflation rate, especially. But I think another aspect that deserves some attention is that Pakistan's exports have been increasing significantly, and they increased by 26% in the first 8 months of this financial year. Remittances in Pakistan have also increased. I think Pakistan's overall global image also improved by virtue of having a leader who doesn't have that kind of baggage of being labeled as corrupt. And also at the global level, his initiatives in relation to Islamophobia and on other similar kinds of issues, you know, they have received some appreciation, but Pakistan's problems are, you know, much, much bigger. I don't think so anyone could have solved them just in 3 years. And he should have been allowed to finish his full term.
But at the same time, when you talk about the economy, right, it is in a dire situation. When we talk about the IMF program, for example, that has been put into jeopardy, hasn't it? So is this a consequence of Imran Khan's, let's say, mismanagement of the economy that Pakistanis are actually facing a tough time when it comes to the economic conditions?
Yeah, the economic situation is, of course, very bad. And of course, there is mismanagement in there. But I don't think so he had enough to play with in this case, because the situation was very, very bad when he came to power. And ultimately, the government had to take more loans. So now, if you look at the amount of loans he has taken just in 3 years, they're far, far greater than any of the previous governments. And ultimately, I think what all of this has done, on top of his anti-Western sort of rhetoric as well, because this government has been having, you know, not very good relations with the West. And ultimately, you know, a combination of that pushed Pakistan towards countries like Russia and also like China for more loans. And if only in the past 2-3 months, I think China has been providing Pakistan with more loans to, in a way, to rescue in this situation, which is very difficult, in my opinion.
Now, one interesting point that we found out is that no Pakistani president has actually completed a full term. Is this the reason why Pakistan is in the situation that it is? And why does it happen, though? And very quickly, though.
Yeah, so there is a long history. You're right that none of Pakistani prime ministers have ever completed their full term, and there are a range of reasons. You can say bad governance is one, corruption is another, due to which, you know, often even democratic governments opted for, you know, vote of no confidence against other prime ministers, and they never completed full terms. But one has to accept this reality that in Pakistan, military is a very strong institution. So in Pakistan's roughly 70 years or so of existence since 1947, military has directly ruled the country for more than 30 years under various dictatorships, and most recent was General Pervez Musharraf's that lasted for nearly 10 years. So I think these are the reasons that, you know, none of the prime ministers in the past have completed his or her full terms. Okay.
Thank you very much, Dr. Zaid. That was Dr. Zaid Ahmad, research fellow at Deakin University. I think sharing with us the complexity of Pakistan's political system and how important I think the military will play a role there.
I am curious to see what happens next, because although it's widely expected that the Supreme Court will rule in the opposition's favour, that's not a done deal actually at this point. So what happens if the country does go to early national elections? Can Imran Khan win, or will the opposition you know, manage to push through?
Like Sri Lanka, we expect more political developments to unfold. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.